Hello, and welcome to Animation Meditation, a weekly deep dive podcast on all things animation. My name is Andy, I'll be your host, and with me today is my lovely co-host, Nadia. How are you doing, Nadia?
I am good. I just had dinner, so I am well-fed and not hangry.
What'd you have for dinner? Was it a good dinner?
It was. I had Israeli couscous with sort of like a tofu scramble and veggies.
Nice.
Yeah. And cheese.
Had some Korean fried chicken. That was my...
Oh, heck yeah.
So, this week we are talking about Amphibia.
Whoop whoop.
Now, Amphibia is an animated show that's currently being produced by Disney. It's your classic isekai story. Get trapped in another world. That world just happens to be inhabited by frogs. I hope you like frogs. There's a lot of frogs.
Yes.
We follow Anne Boon Shui, a 13-year-old Thai-American girl who stumbles into a world where everything is frogs.
Yep, and big old bugs.
Yeah, and all it's a wonderful world where, like, even, like, the predators for the frogs are scaled up to the point where, like, it would be from the frog's perspective.
Yep, if not bigger, because at one point one of them is riding a ladybug, and I don't think I've ever seen a frog small enough to ride on top of a ladybug.
You don't know that.
So, definitely some other big ol' bugs going around.
This cute little world, they're using, like, snails instead of horse-drawn carriages. And Nadia, what were your initial thoughts on Amphibia?
I think I really started to like it, like, it took a few episodes for me, I think. It's, you know, it's like, each episode has two 10-minute episodes that sort of, like, air in a 25-minute chunk. And I feel like every time I start a new show, it takes me a little while where I'm, like, skeptical of the characters and I'm like, who are you? And it took me a few episodes to, like, really get into who these characters were. I think because a lot of them make silly choices, which is totally the point. It's, like, a very fun kid show and winds up living with a family who's Hot Pop, the grandpa, and his two grandkids. Polly and Sprig, and Sprig is 10, so he's like a little boy. He's got crazy energy running around. Polly is a tadpole, so she's like, and they were all like, it took me a while to kind of get into the vibe of their antics, I guess. But when I did, I was like, oh, okay, I totally get what's going on here. I get the fun, I get the point. And I started to really, really, really enjoy it. And I think it, you know, like once the relationships start to solidify and you're like, okay, like people like Anne and they've accepted Anne and she's got, like, her own cohort behind her, then I started to really, really love it.
Yeah, this is a show that gets compared to Gravity Falls a lot, which I don't think is necessarily fair. Like, Gravity Falls is a masterpiece, but this is a show that I would put much more akin to something like season one of Steven Universe.
Hmm.
And, like, don't get me wrong, I love me some towny episodes of Steven Universe, but this show has a lot more... At least for season one, it tends to really just avoid trying to go very plot heavy throughout.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of just like, this is a fun adventure. We're going to teach some valuable lessons and have a nice little cry at the end. Like, that's just what we do.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
This had been a show that had been on my radar for a while. Every time I, like, open up Disney Plus or anytime I try to do anything, like, I'll see it and I'll be interested, but it never really quite got me until quarantine started, and then I just had nothing to do for weeks on end.
This is a great quarantine show, because you're stuck home and you can be like, finally I get to see someone else go on adventures and, like, live in a new world.
And, like, you'd think that, like, a boggy swamp wouldn't be very fun to delve through, but they really put a lot of personality into it. It's just...
I love it. There's so much color. All of the characters have so much personality, and there's kind of like, you know, like there's a crowd of characters that, you know, are the townsfolk, and it's sort of a small, I mean, it's frogs, but it's like a small rural town. And you kind of get to know the little cast of characters, and they each have very distinct sort of like visual stuff going on, and they're all frogs. They're like crazy colors and they have awesome clothes, and I really, really loved that. It's really, really fun to watch. I also really like that she lives on a farm. Like the family that she lives with.
Yeah, it's just a farming family.
Like, yeah, like there's so many shows now that are, I mean, I think less kids shows specifically, but like a lot of shows just tend to be in these big urban settings. Like that's sort of the, like that's the aspiration. There's the big urban squalor and like the hustle and the bustle, and animated shows too, I think, often have more of a bigger city field, or even if it's like a new world, there it's very much like they have more of the city infrastructure. And this had like that nice, and they actually do farming. It's not just like, yeah, they live on a farm. Like there are episodes where they're doing farming and selling stuff at like the farmer's market, and I love it.
Yeah, like aspects of the farm are relevant to their lives.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, in like, there's a lot of attention to detail, just like the fact that they live on a farm, the fact that they're frogs too. Like you get to see how like temperature affects them differently than they do Anne.
Yeah. And they hop sometimes and make a lovely little bouncing sound when they do. It's like bong, 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 and they use their tongues for stuff. Oh, so great. And the baby is a literal tadpole. Like, heck yeah.
I do want to preface the rest of this episode by saying that we are only covering season one of Amphibia.
Mm, yes.
Season that two is currently airing. I believe they recently had their mid-season finale. I have seen a number of episodes in season two. I know you have not,
you
so
cheater.
I will not be. Look.
You better not. No, it's okay. As soon as I finished watching, because I started watching it by myself, and then Larry kind of popped in and started watching it maybe midway, and he got really, really hooked. He really loves it. He was telling me that he was talking about it at work the other day and was just like telling other people to watch it, which I think is adorable. But as soon as we watched the finale, he was like, is there more? And I was like, well, no, not on Disney Plus. And then I looked it up and I was like, but there's more out. So
more exists.
Yes, but I literally just finished it yesterday, so we have not gotten to that yet.
But yes, we will not be spoiling anything for season two, just season one.
Yeah, you better not spoil anything for season two.
I don't know what you're talking about. Is this a show that you would recommend, and under what conditions?
I would definitely recommend this show. I think, again, this one could tend towards some younger viewers too, because it is sort of really light and fun and episodic, and there isn't, like, there's sort of the shadow of an overall plot, and we kind of got some overarching stuff near the end of the first season, but a lot of it is just fun kids going on an adventure, and they also have all of these different ages represented. So like Polly is a young baby, I guess, even though she's super badass and doesn't act like a baby, but she's a tadpole still. And then Sprig is 10 and Anne is 13 and Hot Pop is obviously a grandfather. So like, I think that, you know, younger kids could relate a lot more to sort of like the aspects they deal a lot with, some family turmoil or like being an older brother or finding new friends and like all of that stuff, and like go on crazy fun adventures. So I think all of that lends itself really well to younger audience viewers, I guess, like elementary age. But it's also super fun and lovely to watch as an adult too, obviously, because that is what I am. I think that if you're looking for something that does sort of get more plot heavy, we haven't quite gotten there yet with just season one. I kind of kept waiting for it to happen, and it didn't quite happen, and like we kind of got it in the last few episodes, but still not to the extent that I was really expecting.
Yeah, they sort of give you this sense of an overarching plot in like the first two episodes, and then they never really address it.
Yeah, and the ending doesn't really connect to what I expected given the first few episodes. So that was a little bit confusing, I guess. But I mean, I think there's a hint of it there, and I'm sort of excited to see how that will manifest in the second season. So I think if you're looking for something super plot heavy, this isn't maybe the thing to pick up yet until maybe there's more and you can kind of binge through and get to the plot stuff. But if you're looking for something light and fun and colorful to watch, say in lockdown, you know, third waves are coming, folks.
Oh boy.
Watch Amphibia. Or with your family, or, you know, I think this is a great option. It's, all of the titles are super punny, and it has really great sort of goofy humor, and it's very fun to watch. Makes feel a little better inside. What about you, Andy?
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I would absolutely recommend this show. This show is very fun to watch. It is very energetic, fun.
Yeah, that's a good word.
It's definitely, if you're not a big fan of the kind of cartoon that will sit down at the end of the episode and just blatantly explain what the lesson should have been, this may not be the show for you.
Yeah.
If you're looking for lore dumps and plot-heavy follow-ups and follow-throughs, you might be a little disappointed with what's happening, at least in season one. But all in all, it's a very enjoyable show. It's honestly mostly filler, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
No, it's very reassuring to watch. Like, you get your little 10-minute episode, and there's an adventure, and it's fun, and there's a conclusion at the end, and sometimes that is just exactly what you need, and it's very satisfying. And sometimes you're just like, hey, I emotionally can't handle the turmoil of a heavy plot. Let me just watch these frogs eat bugs and hop around and, like, become friends.
Yeah, and oftentimes with a show like this, you have that, like, one very, you have that one almost obnoxiously annoying character that's there literally just for comic relief. And, like, I don't think any character in this show gets to the point where I'm frustrated with them. Like, I would a Hootie or, actually, not
Yeah.
But, like,
sometimes like I go back and forth.
But like a Princess Ponyhead.
Whoa, hey now. Are you throwing shade at my girl Ponyhead?
Yes, I'm throwing shade at your girl Ponyhead.
Well, fine. I grew to love her, but it's okay. No, but I think you're totally right. All of these characters, even the background ones, and even the ones that make silly choices or have a lot of energy, I guess would be like the kind way of putting it, like, are very lovable and redeemable and fun to watch. And I think all the side characters are like that too. Even like, you know, the goofy fool in town who goes around sort of telling tall tales, like, he's fun. All the side some of the side characters I wish that we even had more of, because I just really enjoy kind of who they are.
So
we'll get into that later, but
like, you don't, there's not a whole lot of, like, you get to see a whole lot of recurring characters over and over again. It's very much just,
except for like the main family.
Yeah, outside of the main family
in, like, all of the episodes. Also, can I just say that it took me a ridiculously long time to realize that they were calling the grandfather Hop Pop instead of Pop Pop. Like, I had to wait until I saw someone write it down in an episode, and I was like, oh my god, they call him Hop Pop, that's amazing. But I didn't know until I saw someone literally write it down, and I think that is the coolest thing in the whole wide world. There's so many puns in this show. I love it. The baby's name is literally Polly. Like Pollywog.
It's great.
So good.
It's very much a great show. I think this is definitely a show I would recommend. This is definitely a show I would just have on. And I think it is a show that has a lot of potential to become very good.
Yeah, I think that's a good way.
Be more likely to compare this to Steven Universe than I would Gravity Falls, despite the Gravity Falls-esque art and the Gravity Falls-esque mystery underlying. It's much more, because like Steven Universe suffers from a lot of the same things where like, it's a lot more, it's a kid's show, it's not really going to try to get much plot, but it does a bit more to like push the world building throughout than Amphibia does.
Yeah, I totally see that. And I think Amphibia also has, like you said, it has a super soft, like, it's very soft world building, so there are a lot of aspects of the world that I think are still yet to discover. Like, there's magic in the world, which you don't really know until you're like, oh, people can get legit cursed, that's cool. Not spoiling anything. So, and then obviously Anne got there with the magic box, which is literally in the theme song, so I'm not giving too much away.
That is the entire premise of the show.
Yeah, exactly. So, but like, you know, there's a magic box that zaps her into this world. So there are these hints of magic, but we haven't really seen the main characters really interact with that magic. So I'm also like excited to see where that will go with the show. I think that's sort of an aspect of the world that we've seen, but we haven't really quite understood the gravity of yet. So that'll be cool.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about before we move into a more spoiler heavy review of this show?
I do like the fact that Anne is Thai, and that's also relevant to her character. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty awesome.
And the person voicing her isn't just like, she's Thai, but here's someone Chinese who we're gonna have voice this Thai. Like, they're Asian, right? Like, it is.
Yeah.
Brenda Song voices the main... Also, Brenda Song's voice is freaking incredible. She's one of those voice actors or actors in general where she talks and I'm like, yeah!
I almost lost it when I first heard her voice on that show.
Why?
Because it was like, I only know her as London Tipton from...
Oh my god!
From Zack and Cody.
That's pretty much what I know. And like,
my mind just like did a 360 flip and I was like, oh wow, I recognize this voice, but I haven't heard it in years. I could not put my finger on it for so long.
Yeah.
It's like, I know who this is. This is giving me flashbacks to something. Mm-hmm. It felt very nostalgic.
Yeah. And she plays a totally different character, too.
Oh, absolutely. Completely different character.
You were kind of like, wait a minute. Like, what? What is happening? But yeah, her voice acting is fantastic. I like the way that Anne's identity isn't like this huge central... I mean, she's with a bunch of frogs. She's freaking weird just by being a person. But like, her Thai identity does come into food, and when there are flashbacks at home, her family is speaking. And I appreciated that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Love me some representation.
Ayo. I mean, in a show where it's literally just frogs, I was like, good. Like, you did it. You still have a diverse cast, and there are, most of them are frogs, so that's awesome.
Okay, well, from this point on, we will be discussing some rather spoiler-heavy aspects of the show. For the most part, the show is fairly episodic, but there is an underlying plot throughout. There are some very important aspects of the show that can absolutely be spoiled.
Yeah. Also, if you just want the episodes to be a surprise, because they're 10 minutes, and you're like, hey, I want some unique stories that I haven't heard other people talk about, then, you know, pause. Pause for a sec.
Yeah. That being said, Amphibia is available. Its first season is completely available on Disney+. I'm sure its second season will be on there soon after it finishes airing on Disney XD. And if you haven't watched it, go right on ahead and watch it.
Can I just say that in the first episode, they ride into town on a slug, and that slug is never seen again. Because after that, they have Bessie the snail, who double-checked is definitely a different thing than the slug. So I'm wondering what happened there. Because I think the Bessie episode was the one where I really started to get into it. Because, like, I was a little bit unsure about Anne. And then in that episode, I saw her. She was, like, getting super into a book. And I was like, that's something I can relate to. Girl, get into that book. Learn about that snail's history. Awesome. And then I went back and I, like, rewatched some of the earlier episodes because I finished it. And I was like, what else am I going to do with my life? And I was like, that's not Bessie. What happened with that other slug? You never even see it on the farm, like, in the stable. It's just gone. I was like, oh, maybe it's Bessie without a snail. But it's a different color. It has a totally different mouth. It's a different animal. So I just want to put that out there. If anyone has any answers for me, I'm worried about that slug.
I can't wait for this to be plot relevant. Oh my God, I was about to say, I can't believe... I was like, you know, it's real nice that we waited until after spoilers to just start screaming about this slug that only appears in episode 1. We absolutely could have covered that before. But now that I say that, it's going to be plot relevant.
Yes, good. Well, this is a nice buffer. If you've accidentally watched until here and you haven't seen the episodes, you know, this is a little freebie where I haven't ruined anything for you, except for don't get attached to that slug in episode 1, because I'm telling you, come episode 2, you're gonna be sorely mistaken. No, wait. What? You'll be upset. You'll just be sad. That's,
you know,
the wrong turn of phrase.
Hot take right now. That slug's my favorite character in the show.
Oh, man.
Andy, I was crying when it never came back. Who is this Bessie person?
Bessie's my least favorite character because she took over the slug. Doesn't matter that she's cute and awesome and great. Where's that slug? We should start a campaign to bring back the
slug. Hashtag give me the slug.
Hashtag give me the slug. Oh, wait, hold on. I have to think of a really stupid pun with a shell.
Give me that slug.
Shell, yeah, give me that slug. You got a shell? Go to hell. I want the slug. Give me the slug.
It's the shell of the ball.
Oh my God.
But not really. Give me that slug.
But not really. Give me that slug. Just kidding. I hate snails. Where's my slug?
That's it. I think that's it. It's hashtag bell of the ball. Just kidding. I hate snails. Give me that slug.
It's a perfect hashtag. It's so small and consumable. I really know how to brand.
Whew. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's a little tidbit that bothered me that I wanted to acknowledge. Where would you like to go from here?
I don't know how to transition from there's a miss. I don't know how to transition from that.
Oh, I know how to transition from that. Where's the frickin' third girl who gets sucked into the music?
Oh, that's true. Characters that are missing.
What? Yeah. What happens to her? Like, the slug I can forgive. Like, okay, maybe you, like, changed your art vision, or you were like, crap, better fire that artist person who only drew this one slug, and then you were like, we don't have anyone else who can draw this slug, we'll have to draw a snail instead. Like, maybe that's a possibility. But to never address that third character who I see every single time in the theme song. I just, because we see Anne, and, like, you know, she explains that she got sucked into the magic box and she doesn't know where her friends are. And then we see the blonde girl do we see her at the end of the first yeah, we see her at the end of the first episode. So you're like, okay, we've acknowledged that she's here too. And then her poor third friend is never addressed. I kept waiting for her to come in the finale or something. Like, we never see her. We don't even see her at the end of, like, the flashback where we see sort of, like, the lead up into Anne stealing the music box. Sasha just mentioned, she's like, oh, well, you know, this other girl whose name I can't remember because we never see her is waiting for us at the antique shop. Like, let's go meet her. And then we never see them even meet her. What is up with this third girl? Do we need to, like, make a milk carton for her because she's gone missing? Because I am very confused.
Yeah, so for those who, I don't know, didn't pay attention to the show at all, Anne has two friends, Sasha and Marcy.
Marcy, thank you. That's her name.
Both of whom sort of push her into stealing this antique box, this weird box that gets them trapped into this world. We do follow Sasha for some portion of season one. It's a fairly small portion. A little bit at the beginning and then more towards the end of season one, where she was discovered in this world by a bunch of toads and captured, and the toads sort of kept her prisoner until she eventually helped them organize themselves.
Pretty much become like a war force. Yeah, that's what she does.
She just HR managed them for a bit and was like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, I was gonna say until she militarizes them, but they were pretty much militarized before.
No, they were militarized before. They just didn't have someone who was charismatic enough to lead them.
Yeah, good thing we have a blonde cheerleader to whip these toads into shape.
Yeah, who thought blonde cheerleader would have been perfect for militarized movement? Exactly what you want to hear.
It's great. You never see cheerleaders utilize those skills in other shows. It's such a disappointment.
So they don't really touch on the overlying plot all that much in season one. There is very much a established plan for what is happening. It is very clear that they have something in mind for all three of these girls. It's just a much slower burn than you would expect out of a show like this.
Yeah, I think it was just a little shocking to not even get, like, a hint or a flash of her. Because I trust that they haven't just forgotten about her. Because that would be hysterical. And also, I know that hasn't happened. I know she's gonna be important at some point. But it's just, like, I feel like we needed to at least just see her to like get that follow through, because it just feels like she's been forgotten, which I know she hasn't, but when you get to the end of a season and this major character like hasn't even been shown, it gets a little bit confusing.
Yeah, that's fair. I think they wanted to keep some amount of mystery throughout, and I think this is another show where like season one sort of crawls so that season two can run, because season
hop.
Yeah, this is season two can hop.
That's true, and I guess I'm not used to watching, it's been so long since I've actually seen a show, like, as it airs, that I'm used to just watching.
Yeah, binging it and immediately, you get that immediate catharsis of what needs to happen. Yeah, I also had that same thought process, but I don't necessarily dislike what they did. I think it's more of it's only really a disappointment because you're accustomed to a show like this that establishes that lore to have all of that have some form of payoff by the end of the season.
Yeah.
And they do a lot more to hint at, like, Sasha and Marcy's role in this story. Because I don't, and this is, I'm not going to be spoiling anything for season two or any future season thereof, but there is a lot of puzzles.
You mean
you're not gonna
spoil season four for us right now before it airs?
I could. You don't know.
Oh, no.
I've got the inside scoop.
Oh, darn. Andy knows people.
But if you do pay attention to the opening scrawl and you pause it right where the title card comes up, you do see the background is, and this is fairly well-known speculation, so I'm not like, this isn't an original concept that I'm coming up with.
Okay, hold on, I've never actually paused it at that exact moment, so now I have to see what it looks like.
You see this sort of mural that is depicting a prophecy, and you see three female figures standing against...
I just googled amphibia wood plate, because it looks wood, and I'm just getting a bunch of plates with beautiful birds painted on them. Which isn't what I want. Okay, hold on. I really want to see what this looks like as you talk about it. How? What do I Google? Help.
I don't know. It would be a title card.
Oh, that's... There it is. Wow. That makes so much more sense. Okay, go ahead so, and tell... Go
the,
ahead.
The general belief is that the three female figures depicted in that prophecy are the three girls that get trapped in this world by the box.
Oh, okay. I see. Go ahead. Sorry for all of that.
So yeah, that's what I've got. There's
so
a prophecy.
It's a prophecy. Okay, so we see Anne and we see, I'm assuming, so Anne is the one with the sword and the spiky hair because that's just Anne. And then Sasha's the one behind her with the cape, I'm assuming.
I believe Sasha's the one below with the sword, like holding the sword forward.
Oh, I see. Okay, she's covered up by the A.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
So, like, they clearly do have a plan with all three of the girls. This is clearly going to, like, they're clearly going for a more slow burn to introduce these characters, to introduce the family before they really start pulling punches with the plot. And I do think that the reason that they don't really want to start going too plot heavy is because this is airing weekly on a network geared towards children who may not have the best attention span or the best ability to follow along should you come in on a random episode, because it is just airing reruns throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the writers did genuinely have to write at least season one in a way that it made sense from any random episode that you entered in on.
Yeah, I think that's actually a very fair strategy, because that also gives you a chance to build sort of a following, and then when you get more into the plot, you probably have more of a dedicated viewership who is maybe tuning in every week for your specific show.
Yeah, it's kind of, that's just the nature of weekly airings.
Yeah.
Like, you with like shows like Hilda or Voltron or She-Ra, you kind of had the ability to just binge an entire season and not really care. And like you generally don't get lost because you're not coming in on a random episode, but you don't get that privilege when you're airing weekly or you're just setting up reruns throughout the weekend.
Yeah, that's very fair. Can I put forward a theory for you?
I would love to hear a theory.
So because we haven't seen anything of, oh my god, what's her name? The third friend. There's Sasha and
Marcy.
Because we haven't really seen anything of Marcy, all that I can go on is the tiny picture that you see in the intro that gets caught in the tree branch. And in that picture, she's smiling and she's kind of side-eyeing Sasha, and I think she has a crush on her. And I'm
just
going to put that out now. Because I was like, that girl is looking...
That girl looks...
Not at the camera, but she's
real
looking
thirsty.
She's looking right at her friend in the middle there, while the other two are looking at the camera like normal people who are taking a picture. So I haven't met her yet, but I would like to say that that is my theory. I feel like I need a prize if I'm right. What do I get myself if I'm right and she has a crush on Sasha?
I think you deserve some cake.
If I'm right, I'll send you a picture of the cake that I baked for myself, because I'm good at sniffing out queer love. So I'll make my gay cake. And it'll be awesome.
I'll make a gay cake.
We can both make a gay cake. Oh my god, we can have a cake off. A gay cake off.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of season two, but I don't know, by the time, maybe this will come into play season three. You know, if it's down the line a couple years, we might actually be able to see each other and bake a cake together. One could hope.
You know, now that I think about it, I actually don't know if I like that.
Baking a cake with me or then being, having a...
No, I hate you. I don't want to bake anything with you. No, I don't know if I like that being a relationship that...
Well, Sasha is kind of the worst.
Sasha is very manipulative, and I just don't see a way that that relationship works out if Marcy is the one longing, that it doesn't just become a very unhealthy relationship.
That's fair, but maybe Sasha has to go through a beautiful, beautiful redemption arc for gay love at the end, a la She-Ra.
I mean, I do like me a redemption arc.
I mean...
And you've heard my concerns about redemption arcs involving loved ones that are
abusive.
That is
also very true, but considering the fact that no relationship has even started yet. I mean, for all
that's
I know,
not
again,
a, that, no, that's a lie. There's a literal engagement in like the first 5 episodes.
Oh my god, I meant between Sasha and
no, the frogs are important too.
That's true, but they're also 10. So like, although Sprig's little relationship with his little buddy is pretty adorable. Also, she is my aesthetic goals with her little scrap hat and little overalls.
No.
That's pretty much all I ever want to wear.
Despite the fact that he was engaged to someone else.
Well, yeah, but not on his will. He was engaged to them because Anne wanted to make pizza and needed dough. This is all going to be very confusing if you haven't
maybe
seen
maybe we can
show.
Find a dinner that doesn't involve you selling my son.
Nah, he's okay. Yeah, but I don't know. Again, none of this has happened yet, but I would be okay if Marcy has a crush on Sasha. And, you know, like, I have no idea if they even meet up with her season 2. I don't know when that's going to happen. So if Sasha goes through some type of development and change and then is ready for that type of, like, selflessness towards somebody else near the end?
I don't know. I think Sasha gets or needs to get a bit more development before I can really get a grasp on whether or not I like that ship.
Yeah, well, I'm also not even saying that I like it. I'm just saying that it is a prediction that I have, knowing only one thing about that character, and that is that they exist in a picture.
I should say I need Sasha to have a bit more development for me to feel comfortable with that ship. Let me phrase it that way.
Very fair. I think all of the characters need a little bit more development.
I mean,
again, it kind of
Marcy
blows,
does. You don't get anything.
That's true. I mean, she has
exist
the least character development
season.
Out of anyone. If I should be making predictions, I should probably have a little bit more weight behind them, except for all I have is the position of eyes in a photo.
I don't know. Eyes can say a lot.
Ooh. You say in an audio medium where no one can see my eyes.
But yeah, like, Sasha ends the season in a very low point because she almost dies.
Yeah, can we freaking talk about first of all the visuals of after she lets go of Anne's hand and is falling and it just becomes a black silhouette with a red that like stabbed me in the heart.
Yeah,
I wasn't ready for that. I like didn't quite cry because I was just like taken by shock, and then she very quickly doesn't die, so I don't think I'd even processed it by the time that she was clearly saved and not gonna die.
But like still for them to even imply that was possible. For
yeah,
them to, like,
insane.
Sit there and have this 13-year-old girl literally watch her best friend, like, let go of her hand and drop several stories. Like,
yeah,
just that
like,
concept is so dark.
Yeah, it caught me off guard. And they like, went with it, too. It wasn't just that she let go and Anne, like, looked at her emotionally. Like, there was a very clear visual shift with the show that was deeply, I think, moving, but also very disturbing, and I wasn't ready for, given the fact that it has been a very episodic.
Yeah, especially when, like, the way they lead into that, it wasn't like it wasn't an accident. It wasn't like she just couldn't hold on. She literally just let go because she felt she was not worth saving at that point.
Yeah, which is, I mean, again, that is kind of the start of redemption in some sense. But again, then she's taken by the toads and is pulled away. So we don't, you know, I don't know.
That series of episodes also implies that there's this sort of social structure within this world.
Yeah. I don't know. I think for me, like, I was very excited to get to the point where we got sort of this overarching plot a little bit more heavily. But I think just the last episode was so not what I expected.
Yeah, it's very against what the rest of the show has been giving you.
Yeah, it wasn't what I expected. And so it felt like the whole, like, oh, Hot Pop has become a revolutionary to other people just felt so weird to me.
But, like, they do a good job of setting that up because, like, it's completely by accident that Pop gets put in that position.
And I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense too, as we've only seen this small town, and they do very clearly say they're like these are the actions that have led other people to view you this way. So it does, in a very clever way, kind of hint at this larger world while still keeping you in sort of this small town mentality. But I think it was just such a deviation from what I expected that I had like a hard time internalizing it because I was just like, this doesn't make sense to me.
In the context of the episodes that they are referring to, it's very very much played off as a joke.
Yeah, Hop Up does not
intend to be taken seriously in any real way, in any real fashion.
Yeah, and the moments that do kind of hint at these larger plots. I mean, again, like you said, this isn't a great comparison with Gravity Falls. I do think it differs in many, many ways. But the way that they begin to introduce the overall plot is very similar, where there's just like a small moment at the end of an episode where a character will kind of reveal that they know something they're not sharing, or it will cut and you'll see that another character exists at like the last minute of an episode, and it does that same thing, and none of those things came back in the final episode. And then also the Hop Pop thing, it was like the full episode of him running for mayor, so it didn't feel as much like a larger reveal because it just very much fell into that, into the same rhythm as every other episode, so it didn't stand out for me to notice. So I think it was just confusing for me as a viewer, and talking about it now I'm like, wow, this is really cool. They're kind of diverting our expectations as viewers, and they're doing things in different ways, and they are connecting things without us knowing, and I think that is pretty cool. It was just jarring the first time through, I think.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I do think it's very much the writers trying to get under Disney's censorship, I feel. Because they can't really have Hop Hop actually be a legitimate revolutionary.
Why?
It takes away from, like, the aspect of the kids show. Like, we're not trying to make these political statements.
You say as they make a Hop Pop poster that literally just looks like the Obama one. This isn't a political show. But I get it. I get what you're saying.
Well, yeah, like, they can't bang that over your... Like, they can't make Hop Pop a serious revolutionary in the episode where that entirely revolves around the mayorship, because it's just not, it's a bit too serious for the show that they're pitching.
That's true, but then they're hinting it at the end of the first season anyway. They're hinting at this larger caste system and these larger sort of oppressive structures, so I feel like they're gonna have to get into it eventually.
Oh, yeah.
So is it
they're gonna have to eventually.
After they build up, like, their clout with Disney?
I think it's more they're going to try to do their best to keep those kind of episodes where they do address that at the beginning and at the end of every season, or even yeah, mid-season finale. I think the writers want to keep the bulk of the episodes as episodic as possible,
mm-hmm,
and as kid-friendly as possible, and leave the big event episodes, like the mid-season finale, the series premiere, and the series finale, mm-hmm, to really delve into those aspects.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I also, like, I do like that format, too. I like to be able to kind of just, like, go along with the ride and then ramp up for something big at the end. I do think that's fun.
I think that format can be good. I think the more you get into the show, the more you get into the plot and the more you get into the lore, the more obtrusive that can be.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, ideally you'd have a trajectory, right? Where, like, the first season is pretty episodic, and then sort of as the show, which, I mean, again, going back to another show, but Gravity Falls does this really, really well.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a super smooth progression of, like, you know, you have a lot of these episodic things, and they're hints at a larger plot, and then it sort of goes into the larger plot, and then you still have these episodic moments, but those episodic moments start to connect more and more to the large plot until at the end you have this full focus going towards this plot that you've been building to. And I think that...
But I do think that Gravity Falls does actually suffer from that same issue.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Do you think it still has too much episodic stuff in the middle?
Not necessarily. I just think that they are placed very awkwardly.
Mm, okay.
So I'm not going to spoil anything for Gravity Falls because this is not the show we're talking about.
No,
but I have seen shows like Gravity Falls and Steven Universe and the many other episodic plots stories that you get have a definitive arc through a series of episodes that implies near world-ending or world-changing events, and then it immediately jumps into something that's completely unrelated to that. The characters have no concept of any sense of urgency that needs to be addressed, and then we go off on some goofy adventure that it throws the flow of the plot completely out of the window.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And again, I haven't seen season two, so I haven't gotten a chance to see whether or not that's how it starts up again or not, in Amphibia specifically.
Yeah, and I'm not going to tell you.
Well, that's good, because I'm probably going to try to watch more tonight. but yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I mean, I think I'm wondering though if they could have done, if they could have kept the episodic structure and gotten a little bit more character development, because I think that's one of the things that, like, you get character growth within the 10-minute episode. You know, there'll be, like, a thing where Sprig makes a mistake and then over the course of the 10-minute episode learns to not do said mistake, or learns how to be responsible, or learns how to do something, or, you know, and as an only child like myself, learns how to, like, be on a team and play a team sport and grow in that way. And then it kind of never comes back again. And, like, these characters grow and they learn within those 10-minute episodes, but then they don't get, like, I don't think we get a change over the course of the season as much as I was expecting. Like, I think we learn more about the characters, right? Like, we get hints at knowing more about Hot Pop, we get little flashbacks and hints at Anne's life before coming to Amphibia, but that's not really character growth, that's just sort of our understanding of the character growing, but not the character themselves. I'm curious to hear if you think, if you had sort of the same experience, or if you think they do have more character development, or if you think it would have benefited from having more season development.
I completely agree with you. I don't. So there is some clear character development throughout. You see Anne, like, actively makes mistakes, actively addresses them, and actively learns from them. Mm-hmm. And even, like, the other characters in the show do the same. You see Hop Pop learn to be a better father. You see him address when he was wrong and actively move forward with that. But the character development that is made doesn't really seem to stick.
Yeah,
I don't like.
Yeah,
like it's.
Or it's just, it's not brought up as a relevant thing again. Like, great, Anne learned how to be part of a team, but then we don't really get a sense in the future of her doing, using that new knowledge in a way where she previously might not have, if that makes sense.
Yeah, or yeah, they feel fairly static throughout.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's necessarily untrue. Like, the other big plot show that Disney is currently airing is The Owl House, which has about the same number of episodes for the season, but that one does seem to put a lot more emphasis on the character development, because you really do get to see the consequences of the main character's actions throughout.
Yeah, and I think The Owl House was one of the other new shows that I've more recently watched, so I think in my head I was sort of automatically trying to build comparisons between Amphibia and Owl House, which is why I think it took me a little while to get into it, because I kept, like, waiting for aspects of Owl House, like the character development and, like, the overall plot to kind of show up in Amphibia, and when that didn't happen I was just a little bit confused. And then once I really got into the flow of the show and sort of learned what to expect from it, then I was like, okay, this is something I really love. But it took me a while to separate it from the other shows that I've been watching.
Yeah, no, I think it's really a shame that the show keeps getting compared to shows like Gravity Falls or The Owl House that are really not made with the structure that Amphibia has in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because Amphibia both needs to adhere to the 12-minute episode structure, which is a lot harder to keep up with in terms of...
True, true. Like, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, like, just having half the time to be able to both develop a character and have that character go through a complete arc, it's a lot harder to do with the structure that they have. So I think because it's two 12-minute episodes, because they're not really doing two-parters a whole lot, and because it's a show that's meant to be able to be consumed as a rerun, just jumping in at any random point, it makes it a lot harder for them to have that character development and not just reset to square one at the beginning of every episode.
Yeah.
I think if it weren't for the first episode plot hook and, like, the last few episodes, the show would be much more akin to, like, a The Simpsons than anything else.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. And I, like, we need shows like that. I like shows like that. I think it's nice to not always have something that is super plot heavy, like I said, and to be able to just, like, enjoy these little snippets of adventures.
Yeah, and they're trying to have their cake and eat it too. They hinted at an overarching plot from square one. Like, we do see the flashback of them stealing the box at the beginning of episode two, and then it never, and at the beginning of every episode when we open up the title sequence, but we never really address it outside of that.
Yeah, and then there are hints that Hot Pop knows more than he's saying, and that the box is dangerous, and that there are people that could be after it, and...
Yeah, those little stingers right at the end of some of the episodes, but not really much outside of that.
So I'm curious to see how it develops. I mean, again, I've only seen...
Yeah, I do think this show has a lot of... It has a lot of potential. I do think season two is going very well with what it has aired so far.
Mm-hmm.
I am excited to see where they go with this world and where they and really start to develop the overarching plot and the overarching mystery of the show.
I have another mystery for you.
Oh, I love mysteries.
Speaking of mysteries and characters that disappear, what happened to Sprig and Polly's parents? Because Hot Pop is clearly their grandfather. I mean, he's called Hot Pop, and they also, he references them as grandkids. What happened to their parents? There's a whole episode where they go through, like, the, like, family tree, or family, what is it, the family bush, they call it, or something?
Yeah.
And they never, unless I'm sorely mistaken and just missed it, they never addressed their parents.
I'm also trying to remember if they addressed their parents in that episode.
Yeah, Larry brought that up. We were watching and he was like, are their parents dead? And I was like, I don't actually know. They've never addressed it. So I like how there's a progression of unknowns. We have the parents, who have never been mentioned to my knowledge, and we just don't know where they are. Then we have Marcy, who is mentioned and then never seen again. And then we have the slug, who is seen and then never mentioned again. Many, many different layers of missing characters in this show.
I know, we'll never know.
I know. I just wanted to bring that up because I was like, I hadn't thought of that, but you're right, where are they? I feel like all of a sudden, like mid-season, we're just going to get some devastating episode about like their dying parents. And it's just going to come out of nowhere. It'll be like, everything is super great. And then they'll be like, I'm going to punch you in the gut now, though. And it's going to be incredibly sad. Just kidding. Please don't do that.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I mean, I have a very soft spot for missing and or dead parents. I've definitely had my fair share of crying to some random animated show because of a missing and or dead parent.
Yep. I mean, I still haven't seen Bambi because as a kid, I was terrified at the prospect of seeing Bambi's mom get shot.
Whoa, spoilers!
Oh, sorry. For those of you who haven't seen Bambi, mom gets killed. And I was too much of a scaredy cat as a kid to watch it. And yet now, even as an adult, I'm like, would that make me too upset? Can I watch Bambi as a 25-year-old woman? Or am I not there yet? Do I have to wait like another 10 years before I've emotionally matured into the ability to watch Bambi?
I don't know. Have you?
I don't know. If you get a call from me sobbing without any explanation, just know that it's probably because I've watched Bambi and I wasn't ready for it.
I believe you're ready for it. So what you're saying is we're doing Bambi next week?
Oh my god. Oh no.
We're gonna live react Bambi next week?
I mean, if people just want to hear me cry for like an hour, then okay. Fun. Hey guys, life is hard. Listen to somebody else cry for once. Bambi.
I am very interested in, very, very interesting. I am very interested.
Yes, you are, Andy.
Very interesting. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're welcome. I'm very interested in seeing where they take the concept of the caste system that they have implied here.
Yeah. I was gonna bring that up. I feel like that's a growing trend within, and maybe this is just the shows that I've watched, but there's this growing trend within animated shows that rather than having an individual who is the bad guy because of who they are, the evil is actually this larger system that is creating the individual villains. And like you get that in Owl House, you get that in, I think you get that in Amphibia. I mean, you get that in Star. There are all of these shows where there might be evil characters. Oh, you get that in She-Ra, but like the evil isn't that individual necessarily. The evil is this larger caste system that they are like a pawn in.
Yeah, and like the one thing that I'm worried about is that this turns into a direct analogy for racism.
Yeah.
Just because like that has its own issues if you're applying that to non-human animals, especially when you tried to...
Yeah.
And especially when you try to like code certain fantasy races with certain real life races, it can get very messy and it can lead to a lot of problematic messages being sent.
Yeah, and I really hope that that's not the direction that they're going in. I'm hoping I think it's hard to tell because the hints that they've sort of started throwing haven't been picked up the way that I expected, and I can't tell if this is a hint like that or if the arc in the last couple of episodes will then be overshadowed by the other things coming to light. Like, I can't quite tell. But again, I mean, the show hasn't told us yet. So I'm curious to see that as well. And I'm wondering, because we very much like just peeled back the first layer, I think, Like, we haven't even gotten to the point where we're, like, fully eating the fruit.
But, like, I do think it would be very interesting if they literally don't address it as a racial thing and they only do so in terms of the differences physiologically between the literal classes that are established.
Yeah. Also, quick question. Is the mayor a frog or a toad?
Mayor Toadstool?
He's a toad, right?
Yeah.
Because I thought that was really interesting that...
The whole bit about Hop Hop becoming a revolutionary was because he was one of the first frogs to really, like, stand up to a toad.
That's what I thought, and then I was confused. I was expecting for Mayor Toadstool to get some type of differentiated treatment when the toads were, like, gonna kill Pop, although I guess the point was they weren't really gonna hurt the other frogs. They were just gonna use him as an example. But, like, I kept waiting for Mayor Toadstool to get, like, cued into something to be more a part of that, the group of literal toads, and that never quite happened, which is why I was like, he's a toad, right? Thought. Also, I'm loving this whole trend of, like, let's make government officials real skeezy. Like, let's teach kids young to be real skeptical. Let's make sure you know
early.
Hey, mayors, not always great, bud. But that's another thing that I've started to pick up on where I'm like, that's, I feel like, a growing trend where, like, in older shows you have, like, the parents or the teachers who are kind of, like, the boring oppressors, I guess, is the way that you could tag them. Like, in, I don't know, like Jimmy Neutron or, like, Fairly Odd Parents. You know, like, the teacher and the parents, they're the ones that are kind of the hindering, the ones hindering the kids. And now it's, like, politicians and war efforts. Those are the ones really harboring on a kid's childhood.
These are the ones that you really gotta watch out for.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting and really telling of kind of where the public eye has shifted to be skeptical and what we are comfortable telling kids to question. I'm all for it, man. Question the system.
Yeah.
I know you've already started season 2, but do you have any other theories that you want to posit that don't give any spoilers away after season 1?
I think it is very difficult for me to give you any theories that I have regarding this show that do not outright spoil aspects of season 2 that you have not seen.
You caught me. I was trying to get little nuggets of truth from the second season.
I don't think that, given the information I have, I can tell you anything.
Nuts.
In terms of theories for the future.
Not, oh well.
I can give you hints at what you've seen already, like the prophecy.
Yeah. I hadn't actually noticed that at all in the title screen. So yeah. I noticed, you know, that one character's eyes, but I didn't notice the frickin' giant prophecy depicting the main characters. That's okay.
It's all right. It's all right.
Yeah, it's fine.
I do like that this show has an amphibian alphabet.
Oh my god, does it?
Yeah, you are able to transcribe all of the amphibian writing that you can see throughout the show.
When do you see amphibian writing?
There's a few times.
Wow, I really, really need to pay more attention. I mean, I know there's, like, a whole library that they go to, which, again, hey, animated shows, looking at libraries, it's pretty friggin' awesome. So I bet there's some stuff there. Because I remember the first time, the only time I realized that Hop Pop was named Hop Pop was when I saw it written down, so I guess Anne must have written that down then, because she wrote it like a human.
Oh, in the episode where Anne takes over the restaurant, you see the menu for the restaurant, and it's all in this, like, weird runic language.
That's awesome.
And people on Reddit came together and just translated it, and now you have this, like...
Good.
I think we at this point, have a full established alphabet.
That's awesome.
So we can just translate any... It's a picture of a stop sign. It's just a bug. It's just red on it.
I have two fun little random questions that I want to ask you, if there's not anything else big that you want to talk about.
No, I think I've covered everything that I have.
Okay. So my first question is, who is your favorite little side character?
I mean, Polly is my spirit animal.
My other question was which character you'd relate to the most, so I guess that would be Polly.
I just love the aggression.
Polly is fantastic. I did really like that episode where Anne tries to get Polly to do, like, girly things, and then in the end they're like, wait a minute, none of these are gender-coded, and none of them should be. Ayo, live your life. Gender doesn't exist. Because I was a little nervous when that episode started. I was like, oh god, what are they gonna do? And then I was like, they did it! They got what they needed
to do! No, I had the exact same thought process. Like, I don't like where this is going, but you ended it real well.
Yep.
They stuck the landing.
They did it.
The jump was worrisome. The landing got stuck real good.
It's like you jumped into the air and you just kind of looked like you were going belly flop. But ayo, it's a swan dive, folks. perfect entry into the water.
Yeah, I do want to see more development from Polly. I don't think she got enough throughout. Her whole thing is just like she's the violent one.
She's the violent one. Ayo.
Yeah. You have anything else before we wrap this up, as we probably should?
Nope. I just want to say that Ivy Sundew is my aspiration goals. She's my little side character that I love, because she's adorable and wonderful, and I love her little overalls and hat. And yellow is my favorite color, and she's yellow, so she's pretty awesome. I actually made a little felt gnome of myself, because, you know, what else do you do with spare time?
Yeah, what is spare time?
And I'm pretty much, my color scheme is the exact same color scheme as Ivy Sundew, except I have, like, little blue overalls and a little orange shirt and a little yellow hat instead of having yellow skin, but, like, it's literally just blue, yellow, and orange, which is what she is, so.
It's adorable.
Yeah, she's awesome. And then, yeah, I think I'm probably Anne. Just because I'm an only child, and I definitely also need to work on all the things that she needs to work on as an individual. Like, teamwork! Just kidding. No, I probably do need to work on team. Well, anyway, Ivy Sundew is my favorite little side character, and I want to see more of her. The end.
I like it.
Oh my god, there are a bunch of... Are there shorts? Are there individual shorts
that wouldn't surprise me.
The season that you can see?
That would not surprise me. Disney does that a lot. Disney did that for Gravity Falls.
Teen girl in a frog world. Oh my god, there are so many.
Yeah, I'm sure we could talk about this show longer, but it's getting late. We should wrap up.
Yep, we'll get back to it after season two.
Yeah, this show has a lot of promise. I'm very excited to talk about season two. We'll probably talk about that once that's finished. It's full airing. And with that, I think we're all about wrapped up. This has been Animation Meditation. We are available on AnimedPod at Gmail and Twitter. If you have any thoughts about Amphibia or where you think the next season's going to be going, or any thoughts on the season so far, feel free to reach out.
Heck yeah.
I think we'll be hopping off now.
Oh, stop. Too cute.
Bye.
Bye.